Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
When the church is the church that it's called to be, amazing things will happen. But oftentimes we see churches and pastors parading or masquerading as a spokesperson for God or a church that really is not following the biblical principles that it should. We're going to be talking about that in Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber. And Matt, you just recently wrote an article called An Open Letter to the False Church. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, I opened the article. It was addressing using the words of Scripture. I mean, who am I? I don't presume to to be self-righteous or somebody who has absolute truth in my own flesh and abilities. I address Scripture as the guidepost for what constitutes the false church. And of course, Scripture talks about that there will be a great falling away. We are seeing a great falling away. And I think the verse that encapsulates the false church better than any other is 2 Timothy 4:3. It says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." And so today, Matt, we see all of these versions of so-called Christianity branching up that discard the inerrancy of the Bible and of Scripture, and basically take upon what I call a la carte Christianity, and adopt those parts that they want to adopt, and then discard those bitter morsels given to quash the carnal appetites. And that's what we see with the false church. And it seems to primarily center around sex and sexuality and fleshly and carnal desires. So the false church justifies sin by ignoring or trying to redefine what's a Scripture's clear admonition that sexual behavior is only appropriate within the bonds of marriage between man and woman, period. The false church says, no, pretty much anything goes, homosexuality and the like.
In Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." And he goes on to say, "The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And Jesus clearly, I mean, you're thinking about people are going to say, "Did we not even prophesy in your name?" These are not people. These are not people out in the world. These are not people who don't profess. These are people who are prophesying in his name. They're actually doing miracles in his name. And they're doing many mighty works in his name.
And as the scripture says, he says, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." I close out my column with this: "For those who hear God speak them, away from me will be the most pure, righteous, just, and all at once terrifying words ever breathed. I pray you don't hear them." And that's an admonition to those. Again, who am I to judge? Nobody. But if Scripture is not what Scripture purports to be, if the Bible is not what the Bible purports to be, the inerrant, infallible Word of God, then it's really just kind of a neat old antiquated book with some neat stories and maybe some good suggestions on how to live. Nothing, any more relevant relevant to today's living than a Tony Robbins self-help book. But if Scripture is what Scripture claims to be throughout both of the Old and New Testaments, then to discard central aspects of it just because you kind of would rather change with the times and go with what the world says is okay puts one in danger of hearing those words from God away from me. So this is an admonition to everyone listening. Go to the word of life and the word of truth to ground, to develop your value system. Don't go with what the world is teaching or what your deceitful heart leads you to believe.
Well, Jeremiah 23:21, going along that same passage and idea in that verse says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they run around claiming to speak for me. I have given them no message, yet they go on prophesying. You know, it says that the prophets, you know, at the time of Jeremiah, you remember that prophet at the time of Jeremiah? Jeremiah was prophesying the nation of Jerusalem, the southern kingdom, had become so bad that Babylon was going to come and conquer them. So in the city of David is where he probably was in Jerusalem at the time prophesying this. He was prophesying, and obviously nobody liked to hear that. He said that you need to either surrender to Babylon, or if you resist, you will be destroyed. Well, no one wanted to hear that. Mm-hmm. But another person then came up and said, completely different, prophesied completely opposite. No, it's just completely opposite. The three people whose signet rings we recently found in the city of David that were responsible for throwing Jeremiah into the pit, put him in the pit to shut him up. And Jeremiah, you know, has that passage that I just read. There are people that go around speaking false messages in his name. God didn't send them. He didn't give them a message, yet they continue to do it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that you're seeing today. What we're seeing today with the church, with some pastors, when I say the church, I'm talking about some segments within the church, not the church as a whole, but in some segments, some denominations, mm-hmm. some pastors, is on non-debatable issues like marriage, human sexuality, they're compromising and changing their views.
Yeah. Well, here's how I define the false church. It's the body of self-identified Christians who may or may not have begun the process of sanctification through belief upon and acceptance of Christ. The false church either rejects the infallibility of Scripture outright or seeks to rationalize and radically reform, revise, or reinterpret Scripture to justify sin. False church apostates are Olympic-caliber mental and exegetical gymnasts who systemically call good that which the Word of God calls evil. They imagine many paths to God and hold that the Holy Spirit-inspired men used of God to record the Holy Scriptures were, truth be told, rather uninspired after all. Thus, our apostate friends attempt to satisfy their spiritual hunger with Christianity a la carte, taking that which is palatable and leaving behind those bitter morsels given to curb the carnal appetites. In closing, the false church is loved by the world and can be summed up by its central doctrine coined long ago by its founding father, which is this: did God really say? And isn't that what the false church stands for?
It is. You know, and I think it was Pew or Barna, one of those two, just recently had a survey that 90% of pastors believe that the Bible speaks to today's issues, that's relevant to today's issues, which is good. It should be 100%, but 90%, high number, speak to today's issues. But 10% of the 90, only 10% said that they actually use the Bible to speak to today's issues. They run from the issues, from the pulpit. Why? Because they like to be liked. They judge their success based upon how many programs they have, how large the church is, how much the offering is. That's their measure of success. How many people have accolades, pastor, you're doing such a great job, so forth, how they are felt or viewed in the community. 10% only, but 9% actually, 90% believe the Bible is relevant today. 10% actually speak the truth. Go to Liberty Council's pastorsandchurches.org. Encourage your pastor to speak the truth. Not only your pastor, but you as well. We need to not only be involved in churches and leadership that believes in the Scriptures, that doesn't believe that they can just simply change the Scriptures when they're convenient, or as Matt Barber talks about using a la carte Christianity, kind of go into a a buffet line and just picking and choosing what parts of the Bible you want to believe in and what parts that you don't. That is not a church that is following. That is not a pastor who is following God's will. You know, some pastors are afraid to speak the truth because they're afraid, well, people will leave. I think what is happening is people are not coming to churches because the church has lost its relevance.
Yeah.
If the church becomes relevant to society, if it speaks to our daily lives and gives us guidance, people will flock to a church, to a leader like that. Go to pastorsandchurches.org for more information, Liberty Counsel's website, pastorsandchurches.org, and get out the information not only to your pastor, but make a difference yourself.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.